Well, hey everybody, and welcome back to Thin Line Believers. I hope you're all having a blessed and relaxed day, no matter if you're working, your home, wherever this podcast may find you. We always hope to bring you encouraging words and tools that can help you along in your faith and your relationship with Christ. Steve here today with you, and I really had something tugging on my heart this week. I don't know what put it there or what brought it up. As you saw in the title for this week, it has to do with, quote, "What church is the right one?" question mark, and end quote. Now, for those who are active in their faith and relationship with Christ, this is an easy question to answer. You know, we can articulate that. We can defend that. We can talk about that to others. For those caught in the confines, you know, of a rule-heavy church or organization, you must, you know, be part of the church to go to heaven type of church, you know, type of situation. This one may tug on you a little more, because I think as Christians and as believers, we get stuck in those churches and those organizations that set rules and works and those things that we feel like we have to follow to be worthy to one day be reunited with Christ and with our Lord and Savior when we pass. So, I mean, what does the Bible say, you know, about church? What does it say about churches? So I pulled up a few verses that I thought were applicable. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And we've used this a couple times on the podcast, but, you know, and it says, "And let us consider how we may spur on one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see that day approaching." Matthew 18, verse 20, which is one we all know, you know, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all the wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." You know, there are so many that talk about meeting together and having relationships, you know, with each other and growing in Christ through those relationships and through those teaching and through those, you know, encouraging one another. There's, you know, it doesn't say in there, you must be a part of this church. You must be a part of that church. What it does say is that all we need to have is that relationship and make Jesus our Lord and Savior. And there are some tips and some, you know, things that we are encouraged to do, you know, encouraging one another and being disciples, and going out and being that light to others. Yeah, there are those things that we are directed to do, but there's nothing that says we have to be Foursquare, which is where I go and where I find that I learn and I have that relationship grow with Christ. There's nothing that says we have to be Catholics. There's nothing says we have to be Protestant or we have to be Baptist. We have to be all these other things, but we're encouraged to go and find a place where we can grow in that relationship with Christ. You know, the one true church is the universal body of believers everywhere who have given their hearts to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. That's it. You know, the down and dirty of it is that statement right there is what the one true church is. You know, that is the only true one. The Bible teaches us that we must maintain the unity of the Spirit until we come into unity of faith. In other words, you know, spiritual unity is something that all Christians can have, but complete unity of knowledge is something for the future. The fact that there are many different denominations reflects a lack of knowledge in the church. In many instances, it also reflects pride, right? We take pride in the fact that we're Protestant, that we're Methodist, that we're Baptist, that we're whatever that is, and we all know what the Bible says about pride. People are unwilling to meet together with others and submit their concepts to the body of Christ. And many denominations have come about because of doctrinal error. What begins as a beautiful and fresh revelation of God often degenerates into lukewarmness and then into fighting what God is doing in them and in the church and asking them to do and not do. Many times those who claim to know God, you know, persecute those who really do. I mean, we saw it back in the day, in the Bible days of people who knew God and, you know, the others who persecuted them for it because it wasn't their belief. It wasn't what the laws said and those types of things. It becomes necessary, you know, for the Lord himself to come back with a fresh revelation to break through, you know, the unorthodox and the orthodox believers. This happened in Israel. Israel had lost sight of the lawgiver in their exaltation of the law. They killed Jesus, who was the manifestation of God, in the name of their own law, right? In the name of their law. In the Middle Ages, when the church had gained political as well as religious power, you know, it began to grow corrupt. Then a reform movement came about through Martin Luther and others who were persecuted severely by the church. Later on, Lutherans began to persecute Calvinists. Then Calvinists began to pursue Anabaptists, who brought out truth from God on baptism. Still later, Baptists persecuted Pentecostals, who brought out a different truth about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There have been succeeding truths, waves of truth, that God wants to restore to the church. These revelations of truth have been the seed for some of the major denominations, which many times began as despised and persecuted sects. The new Christian needs to find a fellowship of believers who love the Lord and who believe the Bible. There are Episcopal priests who love God with all their hearts, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, who serve Jesus, and whose churches are beautiful places to worship. In some Catholic churches, born-again Christians could feel at home. There are Baptist churches where members love God, Presbyterian churches where the members love God, as well as Methodists, Assemblies of God, Nazarene, and Holiness churches, and many others who the members love God. When you're looking for a church home, the first thing to do is ask the Lord to guide you. Pray to him. Ask where would be a good place for you to go. You know, I can talk about when me and Corey were first starting to date. I know I've talked about it before, but that's what we did. We decided if we're gonna be together, if we are gonna have a relationship and potentially a marriage, Christ is gonna be the center of it. And we asked for guidance on where to go. Just so happened that a church that was a quarter of a mile away from our house ended up being the first place we went and we felt we needed to go to. The pastor at the time, Robert, you know, we came in and we sat down and we had come from broken places and, you know, we're trying to mend that and live in Christ and build our life back through Christ. The pastor in one of his opening statements said, if you come from a broken home and a broken family, welcome home. And it was at that moment right there, we knew that that's where the Lord had put us and the Lord had directed us to go. You know, ask him where he wants you. Find a church that is true to the Bible, one where the people love Jesus Christ and serve him as Lord. Are the doctrine and teachings and practice of that church in accordance with the Word of God? Do the members try to live out the doctrine they profess? If you find those characteristics and a warm fellowship, that church may be for you, you know, and may help build up that relationship with Christ. You know, I've been listening to Ben Corson's Optimist Fits on audiobook. And I love what he said about kind of this topic. You know, I'll quote him. He says, "Religion is about dealing with your guilt, but relationship is about participating in His glory." I think that states it perfectly, where, you know, the laws and the rules of religion and of different churches and make you feel guilty. They make you feel like you can't have a relationship because of that guilt. But when you truly have that relationship with Christ, that guilt fades away. And it's about what He did for us and participating in what He did for us and having that relationship that brings us, you know, into that glory. Oftentimes, religion becomes about membership, about what you can and can't do if you wish to get into heaven. That was not the point of Jesus' return, His salvation, mercy, and sacrifice for us. It was so we were forgiven. it was so that we were forgiven if we come to Him and declare Him our Savior. You know, there are no works, rules, or other things that are going to keep us from Christ when we have that relationship with Him and we involve Him in our lives and in our families' lives. We're called to stand out. We're called to be that light, like I've said so many times on the podcast. I just hope that, you know, if you are struggling with where you are, don't feel like you have to stay there because of pride, of, you know, go somewhere, if it's not where you are now, that you can have a relationship with Christ, that can be built. Find somebody who can help mentor you in that way, that can push you to get out of your comfort zone and to, you know, build that relationship alongside them and can help you, you know, walk that path. I can tell you without my wife, Corey, without a few people in my life, without, you know, Adam and kind of bringing the idea of this podcast, that I would not be and not have the relationship with Christ that I have today. And stepping out of those comfort zones of putting on marriage conferences and teaching marriage classes at church and those things that are not comfortable for me, but I feel like I'm called to do those things by Christ, that if I didn't do those things, I would not have the relationship I have today. So I encourage you all to find those things, to find those people in your lives and to pray about it. Pray about what church to go to, where to get together with groups from maybe your work or from, you know, groups of friends that you know you can reach out to. Reach out to those people, have them pray with you, you know, get down and pray by yourself, with your spouse, however that looks for you. And if you need prayer from me or Adam, if you need any kind of advice on, you know, our walk and where we came from and where we're heading, please feel free to reach out. That's what we're here for. I know we say it all the time, and, you know, we love it when we get feedback, when we get people reaching out to us and you know, asking for our help or our prayers. So please feel free to reach out to us. And I'll leave you with the prayer today. I've been trying to do this more as I close podcasts, just to deliver the message to you guys and gals. Lord Jesus, be with the folks who are tuning in and listening today, that You'll guide them, that You will show them where You want them to be, that You will guide them to the things that You want them to step out in faith for, that You will show them who they can lean on, especially You, and whether that be You or friends or family or people you just don't know that you run into as we as you go upon your week, you know, reach out to those people and soften their hearts and show them who they can rely on and who is going to help them in their faith, Lord. Bless them as they go through their week. Keep them safe. Whatever trials that they meet, whatever traumas they see, that you'll be with them and that you will guide them and that they will know that you are with them all the time. In your heavenly name, I pray. Amen. Have a blessed week, everybody, and we will talk at you again here soon.